What are the consequences of breaking a precept? Hedging the bets here. I think one of the things is recognizing that, from the Buddha's perspective, one of the purposes, what we translate as a precept, is a in the scriptural language. Its literal translation is the word is sikha padang. So it's actually the same word that in the mindfulness of breathing, they're saying train, like I train thus. A verb is sikati. And in this, so sikha is the same, it's the same word, same verb. Sikapadam pada is foot, literally foot, so it means foundation or basis. So it's the basis of training, basis of study, basis of learning, basis of education. So that so a precept is something that we're taking a certain standard of conduct in order to train ourselves and to learn. Learn what are the consequences of breaking a precept, or what are the consequences of keeping a precept, so that the a lot of the say action results of action from the Buddha's perspective come from the nature and the strength of the volition behind it, or the intention behind it, so that a so there's all sorts of different ways that one can say break a precept, but you've got to go back and say, well, what was the intention behind that? What was the volition of the mind? So, like to say to break a precept out of just muddled mindfulness, or breaking a precept out of this sort of revenge, or you know, it's a whole different result. So that the it's like Ajahn Chah. One of the ways that he would always instruct us in terms of how we hold precepts and train with precepts is to, in terms of their function, the function was to give one the opportunity to understand intention and volition. That's its function, so that they're not there to sort of whip you into shape. They're there as a protection, as well as a basis of training. So the consequences of breaking a precept is oftentimes the first person that usually experiences the results of breaking a precept is ourselves. Oftentimes we don't feel good about it, especially if we've made a commitment to try to hold to a standard of integrity, and then we let ourselves down with that. Also, another aspect of precepts is the one of the, or two of the principles that underlie wholesome conduct, and maintaining an integrity of conduct is scriptural language, hiri and otapa. And they're what the Buddha calls the protectors of the world. So they're hiri, and it's impossible to translate it beautifully into English because the doesn't quite translate because of much of the associations that we have. So that hiri is like the most common translation is moral shame. It's got a lot of baggage with it. but what it's pointing to is because it's hard to find an English term, it's pointing to an internal quality of, embarrassment or, compunction or concern of transgressing a precept, because it oversteps the boundaries of one's own inner values, so that it's something we ourselves don't feel good about, and because it doesn't. And then otapa is usually translated as fear of wrongdoing, but it's a recognition of the that there are consequences, there are results, so that the that quality of otapa shrinks back from unskillful action because one recognizes that it has that potential of harming others. And the root of both of those qualities the inner quality that forms hiri and otapa is respect. So that hiri is grounded in a respect for oneself, so one doesn't want to do something that is, kind of goes against one's values. And otapa is respect for others, because one doesn't want to harm or create suffering for others. So that they're rooted in this quality of respect. So it's precepts. There's a dynamic in there that is I think quite nuanced and to me very, very wholesome.